Welcome to All Villa, No Filler. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. This is Rivalries, the show where we meet fans from rival clubs. Aston Villa play Manchester City at the Etihad on Wednesday. So who better to speak to about what Villa should expect than David Mooney, who runs the award-winning Blue Moon podcast. Great to have you on again, David.
Great to be here. And the award is now 2 years old, so I'm going to dine out on that for as long as I can.
I would. I'm still dining out and winning, like, you know, most improved player in 1998 of my 11 sides.
Never let it go, Frankie.
Never. I'll make it one day. I'll make it. So, Arsenal, they've just had the big draw against... Manchester City have just had the big draw against Arsenal. Wasn't the most entertained game in the world, but obviously 3 days later, you can put that right against the Villa. How are you feeling going into the Villa game?
I'm at the stage now where, just looking at the league table, and City haven't beaten anyone inside the top five. Obviously City are one of those teams. There's only four other teams there. But Liverpool, two games, drew them both. Arsenal, two games, lost one, won one. Villa, one game, lost it. Spurs, one game, drew it. And you kind of like, listen, if you're going to mount a title charge... probably should start winning a few of these games at this point now. So I want to see them win the game kind of however they do it. And I can't decide whether I'm almost at the win at all costs stage or like you got to play well and win as well. Because like if let's say Villa come to the Etihad and batter City for 90 minutes, but City score on the counter-attack, you kind of go, well, that's great. They've won the game. But like, you should be controlling this game a little bit better, certainly at home. Like if what happened at Villa Park, you kind of go, okay, fine. You know, they ran into a Villa side that was absolutely flying. We've spoken before about, you know, how good that Villa performance was. At the same time, City went there without a few key players and like ended up not being able to answer the questions that Villa were posing of them. Going into this one, if the same sort of thing happens, you kind of go, whoa, hang on a second. This, like, you should have solved these problems by now. You should be ready for this sort of challenge. So what I'd like to see is a City side that is up to it and that is really going to take the game to Villa. Because again, you look at the league table, City now 3 points off the top. They're behind two teams, which changes the dynamic a little bit. I kind of think City, especially out of the three of them, are in a position where like there's nine games left for City. Like you kind of have to win them all. If you want to win the title, win them all and then see where that leaves you. If you start dropping more points between now and then, you're asking for more and more favours against the others. And that's kind of risky territory to be in.
Yeah. You mentioned how City haven't beaten anyone in the top five at the moment. Do you think that's suggestive of maybe the Premier League this season is, you know, but those competing at the top are a lot stronger than usual, you know, in Arsenal, Liverpool, Villa are way ahead of where they've usually been? Or is it a City not quite hitting the heights that they did, you know, particularly last season?
I think there's a bit of both. So last season, City, I don't think the anomaly for last season is I don't think City were that good. I don't think City, up until about the 1st of April, I was really kind of like, okay, well, things are not really going that well for City this season. And then the 1st of April comes along, they play Liverpool at the Etihad, they take them apart. And you go, okay, that was an encouraging performance. Now, okay, caveat that before that international, that was around the international break last season. Before that international break, they played Burnley in the FA Cup and beat them 6-0. And they played Leipzig in the Champions League and beat them 7-0. Mm. And both of those games were good games for City in that they were playing up opponents who were quite open and were kind of leaving a lot of space. And so, like, you saw those results come in and you go, well, City are at it. But I was still kind of like, I want to see what happens when they play a team who, without being disrespectful to Leipzig and Burnley, like who know what they're doing to try and stop City a little bit. And that was then Liverpool came to town and City took them apart. And you're like, okay, well, now there's a pattern forming here and we can kind of build it from there. And they really did improve the performances last season to the point where they ended up with that Real Madrid game where I don't think I've seen a City team play better than that home leg against Real Madrid.
Incredible.
So, like that slope was really quite steep last season. And from the kind of, I don't want to say lows of the season, because they weren't playing badly before everything clicked into gear. They just weren't really playing very fluidly. It wasn't kind of it was a bit stodgy at times.
Mm.
And then kind of you kind of really rise up that slope to the Real Madrid game. Like you kind of need to see that again this season, because this season it's not really been, again, it's not been that fluid for the majority of it. I think the rest of the Premier League is good. I never buy this sort of, oh, it's a bad year for the Premier League, it's a bad this or it's a bad that. Because maybe I've been fully pet washed and like completely brainwashed by him. But over the last few years, I've really started to see the hard work that City put in to try and to be able to do these things. And last season, like you can look at the opinion pieces in the summer and see how everyone thought it was inevitable that City would win everything. Whereas actually, when you watch the games and you watch what City have had to do to get to the point where they're playing as well as they did against Madrid, for instance, there was one particular newspaper piece that I won't call out who wrote it, but they were saying that how can Real Madrid compete with a team that has unlimited resources? And I'm like, are you for real? This is Real Madrid. It's like when it comes to resources, like Real Madrid have had, like they've had a good run. Let's put it that way.
Bring in Mbappe as well.
I get it when it's like, if it's like Nottingham Forest. Well, that's a bad shout, is it? Because they've been spending like nobody's business. but I get it when it's some like mediocre side that like when City come up against like Fleetwood Town in the FA Cup. I fully understand how can Fleetwood possibly compete with City. Like I get that, but when it's like superpowers of European football, I've got very little sympathy. And you kind of get to that position where people talked as if it was inevitable City would win because they've spent a lot of money. Now, the money they've spent has gone on building a fantastic team. Mm. And what they've got in Guardiola is somebody who knows how to use that team to its full strengths and somebody who can create solutions to problems that I didn't even know existed. And then he solves it. And what happens is people look from the outside. And it's kind of like the Guardiola paradox of the more he wins, the easier it looks. And therefore people call it easy. And it just isn't that. So I can see over the last few years the hard work that City have put in to be able to put the performance levels up to where they are. And this season, they're still working hard. They're still kind of like really, really trying to get things to click. But the profile of the squad isn't quite as balanced as it was last year. The injuries that they've had, and like, listen, I've spoke to podcasters from pretty much every club this season on Blue Moon, and literally every club has talked about the injuries that they've had. I think it's been, I think this season more than any, everybody suffered with injuries. But it, again, from City's point of view, the injuries that they've had, it's the profile of the players that they've been missing, and they just haven't been able to really strike the right balance that they were able to get to last season. I'm hopeful that towards the end of the season they're able to do that with the players coming back that they've got coming back. I mean, De Bruyne is back now. He hasn't exactly been on top form yet, but it's still kind of post-injury De Bruyne. They've got a little bit of defensive issue, but like the defensive profiles are kind of a little bit more interchangeable than elsewhere on the pitch. And I think when you kind of roll all that into how everybody else has built their squad, I think Arsenal have never been as balanced and as solid as they have been this season. Liverpool are better. I still think they're a little bit unpredictable and a little bit uncontrollable, but they're certainly better than they were last year. And then you kind of like take those teams out and you look at everything else that's behind them. And Villa in fourth, you've been absolutely phenomenal this year. Spurs, they've been a bit kind of crazy at times, but they've been pretty damn good on the whole. And then you get to United. I think United are a bit of a basket case and a laughing stock, but like how they're in sixth, genuinely, just no idea, because they're not a good football team. But then behind that, West Ham, Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle have had a dodgy season as well, but West Ham, I think, have been pretty good this year. I can see when Guardiola sits down and goes, oh, we've got Brighton away. Brighton are ninth. And you go, oh, we've got Brighton away to come up soon. You're like, that's not an easy game. And they're ninth. They're ninth in the league. That's the sort of bread and butter tie that, you know, City of 2018, 2019 would have gone, okay, well, they're mid-table and like, just win the game. You just go there, you just play well, you win the game. I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think you can just go away to a lot of Premier League sides and just win the game. So I think the standard of the league has improved. I think everything has stepped up. And I think you look at the managerial appointments that teams are making. It's been a while since, I mean, I know they're getting on a bit and they're not the same sort of managers as they were, but like, Allardyce isn't getting the call anymore. I know he did with Leeds, but like look how that worked out. You know, yeah. you're not getting the types of managers come in. I mean, Palace have been really frustrated with Hodgson this season. Yeah. And then the profile of manager that's coming in is the one that Villa did like a couple of years ago, where they got Emery in and yeah. they were like, okay, this is going to be our style of play. This is how we're going to try and win games. It's not about we're going to be defensively solid and hard to beat. I mean, Villa are that. They are hard to beat, but they do it in a completely different way as in old style kind of Premier League sites. And you look at what you did when you went and got Emery. You were like, we're going to put our faith in this guy's style of play, and we are going to get the players that are going to help him play this style of play. It's going to be a one unified way of thinking. And I think a lot of teams are doing that now. I mean, Spurs did that with Postecoglou, and it's had its benefits, it's had its drawbacks, but ultimately it's led them to fifth in the table and really chasing you guys down. And the battle for fourth is going to be interesting. The battle for the title is interesting. I think we're a lot more technically aware outside of the top teams in the Premier League these Definitely. Days. Like you, I think even take someone like Bournemouth, who, I mean, they're 13th at the moment. They're not exactly flying, but Iraola, as bad as they've been this side of Christmas, like, he caused City lots and lots and lots of problems when they went there, and City were not under strength in that game. So you can go to pretty much any Premier League side outside of maybe the bottom two, three, and really, really struggle on any given day. And I think that's a big factor in kind of why the league is shaping up the way it is this season. But I also think the reason why City have not as in the mix as they have been in previous years. I mean, 3 points off the top, they're still in the mix, but they're not as in control of it at this point. It's because I just don't think City have been as good either.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the profile. I think Iraola at Bournemouth is a very good example of that, how clubs outside of the sort of, you know, the top sides, I guess, are going to get these type of coaches. With Villa coming to City, is there anywhere that you think City are quite vulnerable? Is there anywhere that then, you know, I look at, say, Rodri and Ruben Dias in the middle, and I think, my goodness, how do you physically compete with that?
Here's the thing, is that, like, so on a base level, you can't compete with that. But on a different level, it's not about kind of it's not playing City at their game. It's playing City at the game that they don't want to play. And that's the interesting thing, is that City this season actually have been really, really weak in transition. So it's not about competing with Rodri and Dias and kind of dominating the ball and trying to find a way through them. It's about trying to engineer situations in which you can get City on the transition, and then it's like, oh, okay, City might struggle here. So I take you can look at the team and go, God, that's a really fearful team to that's a team to be fearful of. But at the same time, I think Emery is certainly when you I mean I know we didn't have Rodri at Villa Park, but certainly when you look at the game at Villa Park, Emery was very, very aware of what he could do to cause City problems. I can't remember off the top of my head. I remember Villa having more of the ball than most teams do against City in that game. Yeah. But I think City still edged the possession, still had more possession. And I remember thinking, like, we've got the ball here, but we're just not in control of this game whatsoever. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing. I don't think you can expect to come to the Etihad and control the game. But I think the moments you can control, you could certainly cause City problems in transition. And in many ways, it's why I was a little bit surprised why Arsenal didn't try and do that a little bit more. Because I felt City were there for the taking against Arsenal, certainly with the defensive injuries that they had. And Arsenal just didn't really try and break shape. And I get not breaking shape to not be able to not allow City a moment to nick the game. And I guess they, you know, getting out of there with a point, they're 2 points off the top, they're still ahead of City. They're in a fairly decent place. But at the same time, like, the reward of going up the other end and scoring against City and winning that game, it's like you could really cause City problems in the title race. So I was surprised Arsenal didn't try and transition a little bit more. Maybe City have fixed that problem. I don't know, but I'd still, you know, you get Watkins in behind, and I'm not exactly going to be going, oh, well, they've got this sorted. You know what I mean? I'm going to be on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. So I think a quick pass from, you know, Pau Torres is a really key player for playing out from the back. And if he can bypass the midfield with quick balls, you know, through to a Diaby and Bailey, who are both in really hot form at the moment, or a long direct ball over the top to an Ollie Watkins. I think that's in my head how I think we could probably hurt City. I think I just have a feeling you'll pin us back in the way that you couldn't do at Villa Park when we it was just honestly the most incredible performance I've ever seen from Villa, even though City obviously weren't at their best, but still it was, you know, it's very rare to see a Guardiola team ever get so dominated.
It's not even that. It's like City weren't at full strength and they didn't have all the players, but it's kind of like, it's tough. You get on with it. Like you've got the players you've got, that's kind of it. And Guardiola is, he's not really actually one to moan about not having players available. He was a bit tetchy ahead of the Arsenal game with the international injuries, and I get that. But like by and large, he's generally like, it is what it is. We have the team we have. We have to go and find the solution. And that day, they just could not find the solution.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking missing players. I mean, both sides have them. So this time around, we've got John McGinn suspended, Kamara's out ACL, Jacob Ramsey potentially out, maybe Watkins as well. Came off at halftime against Wolves with the apparent hamstring issue. Mings and Buendia, obviously. But City have a few missing too. You know, Kyle Walker, Ake came off, and Ederson didn't play against Arsenal. So what's the sort of status on those three players, do you know?
So Ake, we don't know. We'll find out a little bit more ahead of the game. So I think Guardiola's press conference is Tuesday. So we'll find out. He'll give an update on that. But when basically I saw it happen with Ake, and I couldn't tell you what the injury was, but he came out of a challenge and he was hobbling. And I was like, oh, that isn't good. And then he kind of hobbled around a bit. And I thought, oh, he's going to try and run it off. And then immediately I looked at the touchline and Rico Lewis was stripped and ready to come on. So I was like, oh, he isn't going to try and run this off then. He's coming off. So like the fact that they got him off instantly doesn't scream that he'll be fit for Wednesday. At the same time, Stones was on the bench. He apparently had a chance of being involved. Now, I'm a little bit dubious of that, just because earlier in the season he came back from injury and was on the bench like two or three times. And in the post match, it was pretty, you know, clear that Guardiola had no intentions of ever bringing him on. Right. So it was one of them like maybe he's just making up the numbers. I don't know. Maybe he's involved. Ederson is an interesting one, because actually against Arsenal, I think City missed Ederson's build-up. Ortega's a fantastic keeper. I actually think he's a better shot stopper and goalkeeper, kind of in the traditional sense, than Ederson is. I think he'll save more than Ederson will. And Ortega's footwork is pretty good, but Ederson's is insanely good. And I think that difference was one of the problems that City had in the build-up. There's no City fan out there who's losing sleep over Ortega playing over Ederson. It's just that it's just the minor kind of moments Ederson can be slightly better in, but like Ortega is more than good enough to be City's number one, let alone his backup. So I don't think there's much to worry about whichever one he picks. But Ederson apparently had a chance as well of playing against Arsenal, so I suspect he might be kind of on the verge of coming back in. And I don't know kind of where the kind of power lies within that one, because I know last season City and Guardiola and the coaching staff were talking kind of amongst themselves that Ederson needed a big few weeks to be able to keep his place as number one, because Ortega was really, really pushing him for that position. Mm-hmm. And then it culminates in Ederson putting in some really big performances, which culminate in the Champions League final, and he was fantastic. So that cemented his place. But in his absence this season, Ortega has been really good. Ederson went off at St. James's Park and Ortega came on and did really, really well. He went off at Anfield and Ortega came on. It's bloody Anfield. And Ortega came on and just went, right, okay, well, we carry on, and just played as if it was just any other game of football. Yeah. And City lose their heads routinely at Anfield. So Ortega came on and was just fine. And that has to really go in his favour. And then obviously he put in the performance against Newcastle. He was pretty good in the cup. He'd have played that anyway. And then, you know, he didn't have much to do against Arsenal, but he came and claimed a few crosses and did really well in kind of standing up in tough moments. So I don't know if Guardiola will go, you know what, he's earned the place to keep it, and he deserves the chance to keep it. Or if it's a case of, we need Ederson for the build-up, so get him back in there as soon as we can. So I really don't know. And ultimately, I don't really care which one he picks. I'm quite happy with either being in there. And then the rest of the team is that injury wise is fairly good. De Bruyne has not quite looked the same since his injury in the last few weeks. But
I saw that.
It's a difficult one with him because like he might just do something, but at the same time, it's he's not a passenger, but he's overhitting crosses, and it's like it seems like he's lost a yard of pace with this last injury. So it's maybe finding the way to use him properly more than relying on him in the way that he used to. I don't know, but I think injury wise beyond that. Oh, Walker as well. We've not heard anything on Walker yet. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be around, but he was better ahead of the Arsenal game apparently. So I mean, I don't. Your guess is as good as mine. What that means. What's the scale on feeling better? Does that mean like is he ready to play? Is he able to walk without a crutch? What is it? Like, what's better?
No, I think the long balls over top I was talking about. I think if Walker's not there, they could be much more effective. If he's there, obviously it makes it a lot harder. Somebody got to ask you out Aston Villa podcast. Obviously, Jack Grealish is a player that's so close to our hearts, I guess. Interesting developments. You know, it's a bit ominous that he's coming back. I'm not feeling good about that. Potentially seeing him on Wednesday, but interesting just seeing Guardiola talking to him after the game in front of the cameras. I can't help but feel that, you know, I've heard some comments that Guardiola's made this season about him. He's been in and out of the team. I think that yesterday, it's all feeling a bit weird, just from an outsider perspective.
I wouldn't read too much into the on the pitch comments because I say this all the time. Oh, Guardiola's only doing this for the cameras. And I'm like, he's the best manager in the world. Why does he need to do this for the cameras? Like what's he getting out of this? Yeah. It's his PR image that he's so desperate to massage. I think Grealish hasn't been good this season, and I think that's what Guardiola's getting at. He's been. In fairness to him, he's been injured a lot. So he came off against Luton and he was absolutely distraught at coming off against Luton because you could see he'd worked so hard to get himself fit and ready for the game. And he obviously felt good before it. He'd started really well. And again, in Copenhagen, he started really well, came off injured, started really well against Luton, came off injured. And he spent the rest of the game with a coat over his head in the dugout and like just really down and distraught. And you can see because he obviously cares. He obviously really, really cares about how he's playing and his involvement in the team. And he was such a big part of why City were controlling games so well last season.
He was.
And you don't sounds, you don't want to boil down Jack Grealish to, well, he knows when to pass it and when not to pass it and keep City on the front foot. But he does that on top of, like, he's a really creative player and he was really involved with the way City were playing last season. But what they've really missed is somebody who can read the game and who knows when to play and when not to play and when to go and when not to go. And Grealish is that. And the problem that City have had is that when Grealish has been playing this season, he hasn't been doing that very well. And he hasn't been at his creative best. And he hasn't been kind of controlling games the way that he had done in previous years. And I think that's what Guardiola's getting at. It's like, we need Grealish to be Grealish again. And we need him to do what he was doing last season and the year before in order to get City to a level where they're actually, you know, in contention to win these titles and trophies. And they might do it without him. They might be able to survive, but with him, it's a lot easier. And I think that's what Guardiola's getting at. He came on for half an hour against Arsenal. He didn't particularly do a lot. But again, it's his first game back from injury. And you have to kind of build the momentum and get back into it. I would love him to start against Villa because I want him to have the opportunity to kind of get back to where he's been. And I think what Guardiola sees that and wants that as well, because I think that's what these comments are aimed at. And I always think when there's a little thing I noticed about Guardiola about 4 or 5 years ago, is that if he is willing to criticize a player in a press conference, he loves them and he thinks that they can do better and they can improve. If he spends the entire press conference going, no, he's a great person, great great player, it's like that player's done. There's nowhere for that player to come back to. So the fact that he's willing to say publicly that he thinks that Grealish can improve, I think that tells you that. I don't think there's a rift or anything like that there. Yeah. I don't see there's been talk that Grealish leaves in the summer, and I'm just like, I just don't see how that happens. I don't see, I don't see where he goes, and I don't see who's paying the money that City want for him. And I don't really see Guardiola wanting to let him go either. I don't think it's a, I don't think it's one of them situations.
Yeah, I've thought that. I've been talking about that with a few friends, and I've been talking, you know, the, what would happen to Grealish were at City to move him on. And I just do think he's at that age now, isn't he, where top clubs don't tend to go for those players now on massive wages. You know, look at Real Madrid, they target young 20-year-olds now, don't they, the young players. So, yeah, it's an interesting one to follow, I think. But hopefully he doesn't find form against Villa.
I certainly don't think he wants to leave either. And I think that's the driving factor. And so, like City don't... There's not a lot of players that City want to move on without the player wanting to leave. I mean, there's a couple, like Calvin Phillips, for instance, is one that they wanted to move on, and and it didn't matter what the player thought. I think Zinchenko might have been one of them as well. They spent years trying to get rid of Zinchenko because he was a kind of a CFG signing, and then he actually made his way into the first team. And every year, every summer, they seem to be accepting bids from like Wolves or Everton, and then Zinchenko was like, "No, I'm not going," and then he'd work his way back into the team, and then eventually Arsenal came up, and like it's like Arsenal's a much bigger move than he was getting than he was being offered previously and regular football. I get it, but more often than not, when players leave City, they want to leave City, and that's kind of that's kind of where it spawns from. I don't think Grealish is in the camp of I want to leave, and I think that's probably why he stays.
Okay, and you know, prediction for Wednesday, I've got to ask you. It's a mugs game, but we've got to do it.
I hate these because, like, I can't really read how City have been playing this season. Villa are in that weird kind of position of not being one of the absolute elite teams of the Premier League, but at the same time being fourth and being like the fourth best team in the league is nothing to be sniffed at, and you should be really, really wary of the fourth best team in the league. And like you look at certainly the way City have been playing against the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal, they've not found it easy. And then you go below that, and as I said before, like Villa and Spurs, they haven't found it easy. So I don't think City will find it easy at all. But it's kind of like it's battle mode time now. And if City don't win, then I think there's real questions about whether they can stay in the title race. So I think it's kind of, I think it's the stage of the season where it's win, yes or yes, and there's no other option. And with that in mind, I'm going to say, I don't think it'll be comfortable, but I'm going to say 2-1 City.
Yeah, I think I'm veering towards a 2-3-1 City. Only just, I think that, you know, we've coped really well without McGinn actually getting a draw away at West Ham and beating Wolves pretty comfortably at the weekend. But I just think this is a game where when you've got Rodri in the centre, you've got, you know, City are a surprisingly muscular team when you look. I looked at them yesterday and I was like, bloody hell, all over the pitch, they're just absolute monsters. Because you,
that's really funny because I spent the entire Arsenal game going, God, they're all bigger than us.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, Arsenal have done that as well. Actually, with their centre-backs, they've gone really big, haven't they, with Saliba and Gabriel. But you know, I think of Guardiola teams of the past. Obviously, his Bayern team were more muscular, I guess. But that Barcelona team, obviously, you will always think of the smaller players that stick out. And it was just seeing City yesterday. I was like, you know, Guardiola up there on the far left. I kept confusing him with Grealish at times because of the footwear he was wearing. So I think that missing Kamara in the middle, missing McGinn in the middle, that could be just a, it could be a big ask of Douglas Luiz and Youri Tielemans to deal with that in the centre, and that might just be where you do it. But
I think City have got to play well. If City don't play well, I think you've got a real chance. But I think the question is, funnily enough, it's one of them games where I don't think it really matters what Villa turn up. I think it's whether City are on it or are not on it. And there's been a bit of both this season in the big games. So let's find out on Wednesday. I mean, I know that doesn't answer any questions whatsoever. But I don't think there's any City fan looking at this going, well, like it used to be a case of, like, even when City were terrible, it used to be a case of, well, Villa are on the horizon. We always beat them. That'll be all right.
We've got a striker hasn't scored for 20 games. Oh, he'll score against Villa anyway.
Here we go. We'll get Darius Vassell back on. He'll do the damage against Villa. But like, it's not that this year at all. It's very much a case of Villa are dangerous. Don't let them be dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. I think Zaniolo's fine in form. Diaby's fine in form. Bailey's been fantastic this season. And if Watkins is fit, I think that obviously that could definitely help us going forward. But I think that muscularity in the centre and your ability to just take hold of a game there might be a lot for us to deal with. But also Foden as well. I know he wasn't good against Arsenal, but it feels like he's been a bit of a clutch player for you.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say I think he's been City's player of the season. Right. I think he's been really, really good, Phil Foden. And he stepped up in the moments when De Bruyne has been injured or not really on form. And in many ways, it was a little bit of a surprise that De Bruyne stayed on against Arsenal and Foden didn't. But I can see why you would do that because De Bruyne is the sort of player who does just pull one out of nowhere in the way that Foden can do, but doesn't do as frequently as De Bruyne does. So yeah, I think Foden's been good. But I mean, the other side of this as well is like look at that Arsenal game. You know, you talk about someone like Erling Haaland, like City have not found him as easily as they did last season. But at the same time, it's like the ball just isn't dropping to him in the same way as it was last season. He kept finding space in the box and suddenly the ball would appear at his feet and he'd pop it in. Whereas this season, every time he finds space in the box, it's like, can you kick the ball, please? Like the chance at the back post against Arsenal where if he'd just kicked the ball, he'd have probably scored. But instead he took an air shot and it's like, okay, well, we can't let these moments go past. So I think there's room for improvement in various departments at City, and I think Haaland needs to take a few more chances, which is I get he's mad to say given the number that he takes, but he's missed a lot more big chances this season than he did last.
Yeah, if you compare his goals to last season to this season, I know he's been a lot more injured this season, but he is still a bit lower than it was last year. But anyway, David, it's been absolutely fantastic to chat to you. Normally I'm with full dread whenever I do because I'm expecting a City battering, but
different
finally,
this year, isn't it? Yeah.
Finally, Villa actually got a result. We're actually a good team. I can't believe it. But yeah, I'm look forward to Wednesday. Whatever happens. City, obviously, the favourites. But good luck for the rest of the season. And thanks again for coming on, David.
Yeah, you too. Well, let me just say as well, I really, really, really hope Villa get fourth. I think fifth this year might actually be a Champions League place anyway. But I really hope Villa get fourth because... it's just nice to have different names and different teams having that sort of success. So I remember when City first qualified for the Champions League, and I was ecstatic to get into the ground and kind of see the European elite play against City. And now the format of the competition means that City get Shakhtar every year in the group stage, and I get really bored by it. But it was really quite novel when it started happening, and the more sets of fans that get to experience that, the better. So I really hope Villa do it.
Oh, absolutely. The magic of it, seeing where we came from quite recently, down in the Championship, but to get Champions League so quickly. And that's why I'm also a big fan of Coefficient FC. So anytime Man City do well in Champions League, I'm like, go on, City. West Ham, like, beating Freiburg. I was the biggest West Ham fan going. So yeah, thanks again, David.